What's the Takeaway podcast, hosted by Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, covers a variety of relevant topics with professional guests. This is the perfect show to learn from different views on national newsworthy topics. The show airs every Saturday at 11:30 a.m.
Good morning and welcome to another segment of What's the Takeaway? I am Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, and once again, I am so elated to be with you all on today. I take this day as a special day because it is the day before Mother's Day, and Mother's Day is very near and dear to my heart. I have lost my mother. I lost my mother in 2017, and it is still rocking and reeling a little bit. But today, I want to talk about that part of it. See, in Mother's Day, we always talk about the mothers that are alive and the mothers that are still here. We give them reverence, and sometimes we still cry for those of us that have lost our mothers. We almost not want to see this day come to pass. But let me give you just a little history before we get into the discussion, that Mother's Day was started by a woman by the name of Anna Jarvis. And she started it in 1914, and it was approved by then President Woodrow Wilson that we would celebrate mothers every second Sunday in May. And we have been doing that since then. And what has happened was she started it to be just like, you know, a sincere thanks for mothers doing what we, taking care of us, feeding us, clothing us, and taking care of us. But now they looked at it and they said, it just like Christmas, it has become so commercialized that we are losing the significance of what Mother's Day is all about. I'm gonna introduce my guest. My guest today is Dr. Eric Mason. I'm gonna let him tell you a little bit about himself, and then we'll go from there. Dr. Mason.
Well, good morning, should I say, and to Bishop, it's a blessing to be here as always. I'm always elated when I have the opportunity to share. Again, my name is Eric Mason, and I am the pastor of the Jesus First Community Church in Garden City Community. And we actually have been doing this now. I started this church about in September of 2020, 2002, should I say. And the church has been a blessing. And here we are now celebrating 20 years. And I am happily married to Sabrina Mason. And we've been married now in July will be 28 years of marriage. And we have four grown sons. And they're all doing well, and we're grateful for them and what God has blessed them to be able to accomplish and do. So I'm just happy to be here and to be able to share with you today, because this is a very sensitive topic for me now. It once wasn't, but I can tell you it's very sensitive now, and I'm looking forward to sharing. I don't know how well I'll do with you today, because it's still fresh for me as well. Actually, it's been 3 years. Mom died January 27, 2019. And it seems like it just happened to me yesterday. So it's still fresh for me today. And I hope I can get through it without shedding some tears. I'm glad to be here.
Yes, and we're glad to have you. I want to share with our audience, all of our podcasters, as I said, we often talk about the mom that's still alive, and God bless her. God bless the living mother. I tell people all of the time that if their mother is alive, they need to cherish her. They need to thank God that she's still here, that she can listen to their cries and listen to the things that are on their hearts. But there's a time that somebody right now may be losing their mother, maybe dying. She may be leaving them, transitioning. And it is not a good feeling. It's not a very good feeling. And I will be first to admit it. It I don't know, but for sometimes you lose siblings, you lose grandma, and you lose your dad, and all of that was, oh gosh, so gut-wrenching. But then mom departs, and your heart is just broken into many pieces because you just can't fathom in your mind how you're going to live without her. You know, that's how I felt. How am I going to live without you? And so we want to talk about how we are able to bounce back from this, because we got to bounce back and we know it. Yeah. But how? I mean, what things, Dr. Mason, have you put in place to try to bounce back and from this? You'll never get over it, but no. How can
Well, you know, and I grant, I will say for everybody's different. There is no one answer to this. And probably if we talk to 10, 20 other people, they'll probably give you several different scenarios of how they've been able to. And some of it would actually blow your mind for some of the things that people would have to do to be able to make it after mom is gone. With me, I have three other siblings. And one of the things that my siblings and I had to do, we had to come to grips that we were not going to fall apart and we were going to be there for each other. And that was the first thing that kind of helped me get through, because we actually got a chance to share. We'd never done this before. We had never done this before, where we sat down and we talked about, you know, what we were going through before the process and what we were going through after the process and how we were coping with it. And in our conversation, we got the opportunity to talk about things that happened to us that nobody else knew about but our mom. Nobody else understood but our mother. And now that she was gone, some of it, you know, was answered, some of it wasn't answered, but we had to start relying on each other. So we embraced each other. And of course, we had the church there, and I had church people around me, and I had people, other friends around me that were great. But I will say that my sisters have been the greatest support system, and my brother-in-laws that helped me, because every time I had that a moment, you know, I could call my sisters and I could talk to them. If I couldn't reach one, and we just made it our business not to fall out over a chair, over a house or clothes. You know, people fall out over crazy stuff, and siblings fall out and they are not talking to each other for whatever reason, because after mom died, you know, everybody, but we just made it our business, said, okay, what we're not going to do is do what we see happen to so many other people, where we fall out over silly stuff, because we realized how much we needed each other, because all of us had the same mother. We had this, you know, this wasn't a stepmother. This was all of our biological mother. And although we had different fathers, but we all had the same mother. And when this happened to us, it all hit us. You know, I thought I thought it hit me differently, because I was the only boy, and I felt like, you know, hey, you know, that was my mama, and I was taking it real personal. But after sitting down and talking to my sisters, I found out they were hurting just as bad as I was. But because of our conversation, it helped me to understand where they were, because I was taking this thing personal, like, okay, y'all, forget y'all. It wasn't y'all mama, it was my mama.
Yes, you know, yes.
So, but what I found out, I was becoming, you know, getting into a place where I was becoming a little selfish. And I had to realize that, you know, my mom had other children too. So we had to share in this together and in our conversation. And I must say, that moment that we had that conversation and we shared some of the things that we had experienced in life, and how mama was helping us to get through, and how we realized, okay, she's gone now. We need each other now. We got to talk to each other now. And whatever personal vendettas or any issues that we had to crush all of that, because at that point, we all was hurting. And we did not let our hurt and the pain of our mom being gone cause us to be separated and divided, because we were the person that we needed more than anybody. And I have people say to me, you know, I'll be your mama now, Child, please, y'all, you ain't no such a thing. That you know, there was no, and I had to pray because I was getting angry, because people were like, I want to take your mama. You don't get the one mama. I'm not looking for another mother. I'm not looking for somebody to take my mother's place. So it was my siblings in my situation that helped me to be able, and we're still helping each other. You know, I have these moments and they have the moments, and we'll call and we'll talk to each other and we'll share what kind of experience we have. We have dreams about mama. We have thoughts and things that we experience, and we share and we talk, and it helps us to get through this whole process. So that's been my go-to since my mom has been gone.
Well, you know, that's helps a lot, because a lot of times people don't really have sisters or brothers. And in my place, I did not have anybody that grew up in. You know, when my mom left,
yeah,
that was it for the house that I grew up in.
Right.
You know, yeah, everybody was gone.
Yeah.
And I felt, even though I had my husband and I had my son and I had my aunties, they were trying to, you know, step in and be sure I was okay and everything. But it's something knowing that everybody that grew up in that house with you,
yeah,
has gone.
Yeah.
And my mom was the last to leave. And it just hurt me so bad, because I kept saying, she left me. She, yeah, left me. That's the only thing I could think. She left me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when that happened, and like you said, some people will say, well, I will be your mama now. You know, you can't fill her shoes. Nobody.
Right. Yeah.
But people can be there for you. People can be there for you, and people can. My aunts were there for me. They are still there for me. And I know that they're the go-to person. You know, my husband is here. My son is here. And I still cry. I will openly admit that,
yeah,
that I still cry. And I have those days when I miss her, and I miss her so much. And I still ask, why did you leave me?
Yeah.
You know, especially when something comes up and,
yeah,
I got to make a decision, or it's something I need to talk about.
Yeah.
I just like, I feel like I'm pulling out my hair and saying, why did you leave me? I don't have nobody to really talk to.
Well, you know? I find myself picking up pictures, my mom, and I find myself sitting there talking to her. You know, there are times when I've actually gone to the graveyard, you know, and just drove out, and I just said, I just need to go and just have a conversation. Now, I'm not saying that that's healthy for everybody, but, you know, I go and I just, you know, I go out there alone and I just talk. And, you know, part of me understand that we all have to leave here, but I too was like you in a lot of ways. I was like, you know, Mama, I just cannot believe you left me, you know, because she's been there all of my life. I mean, you know, and she died just before my 50th birthday. And I really wanted her to be here for my 50th birthday, because, you know, she'd been to at every point in my life that I have had those high or low moments, those great or bad times in my life. She's been right there for me. So for her not to be here now, the other day I had a situation where I had to go to the emergency room, and my wife, she's been a great support system, because she too lost her mom, but she lost her mom in a different way. You know, her mom was taken by her dad. So it was an immediate loss for her. So her mom was gone instantly. Where when with my mom, you know, she knew that, you know, the doctor told me that she had, you know, pancreatic cancer and she wasn't going to live long. So I had time with her. But, you know, even though you have time, it still is, when that final moment hits and she takes her final breath and she's gone, it still felt instant. It still felt like that instant moment. So even though some people, parents leave tragically, others leave because of illnesses or whatever have you, but the moment that moment it happens, it's instant for the individual. And at that point, you have to try to figure out ways to keep yourself sane. I even had time where I had to go to, you know, and I know this is going to shock a lot of people because you're the preacher and you're the pastor, you're supposed to be the counselor. But what I will tell you is this, just because a preacher is a preacher and a pastor of a church does not mean that person is authorized and has been a person that can do counseling. And a lot of time people say, well, you know, I'm going to my pastor for counseling, but actually you're going to your pastor for advice, or you're going to get some words that they can kind of give you that will help you, but they really can't actually counsel you unless they've gone through counseling classes and courses so that they can be able to actually do counseling sessions. So, it, you know, this thing was so devastating to me that I had to go and get counseling myself. And I went for several weeks, several months that I went because I had to find some way of figuring out how to live this new life, because it was a new life for me, because I had her all of my life. And now I have to figure out how do I live and go on in this new life. And I had to go and lay on that couch, as most people refuse to go sometime and don't want to go, but I had to go on the couch. And I will tell you, the couch helped me. And now I'm able to tell people that lose their mom or lose their loved ones, listen, I know as spiritual as you are and as saved as you are, you know, to keep yourself from going crazy or cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you better get the help you need, because we will pray for you, but church people will also talk about, child, that man that messed around and lost his mind. And I didn't want the people to think I was going crazy, but I was losing it. But I had, yeah. I really was, you know, and, you know, people will see you preaching and teaching and praying for people. But how do you pray for people and you're about to lose it yourself? Lord, that could go.
Well, that's a sermon right there. That's a sermon right there.
You know,
I'm going to talk to you about we're going to talk a little bit more about therapy. But right now I'm going to pause for a commercial from Jazuri, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to the Jazuri brand of body oils. Jazuri 24 Karat 5-in-1. The ingredients of this wonderful oil helps to exfoliate, soften, and moisturize. It is quick absorbing and has anti-aging elements that give your skin a youthful appearance. Jazuri Bliss has a glossy, satiny feel. It hydrates the body and helps you feel refreshed. Jazuri Ignite. This is a body oil for men. The secret to this oil is the honey that helps protect, repair, and prevent skin damage. Jazuri Pink Ice. The smell of sweet jasmine is the dominant floral fragrance that you will smell. It's rich in emollients, with a touch of vitamin E, which helps to rejuvenate your skin and lighten scars. Jazuri Sugar and Spice. Experience the dazzling sugar crystals combined with our rich oils that will exfoliate and help clear up dry skin, making your skin to be alive again. Learn more at www.jazuribrand.com. Email info@jazuribrand.com.
Okay, we're back. And my guest today is Dr. Eric Mason, the pastor of the Jesus First Community Church in Garden City, Georgia. And it's a delight to have him, because we are talking about how do you bounce back after the death of a mother. And he is where I am, so I understand that. We were talking a little bit about therapy, and I guess we were both in the same shoes, because I too had to go and have some therapy. I had to get some talking. I had to talk it out, because I realized that I had all types of emotions going through me. I was angry, I was bitter. Then I was just going through it, and then I was grieved. All of those emotions that were going through me. And really, I am of this persuasion, unless a preacher or a pastor has really had been in to school for counseling, that type of counseling, they can't even touch the surface on it, because what that counselor talked to me about and what they pull out of me was the anger. I didn't really realize how angry I was until she pulled that out of me. And so it's good sometimes to get some counseling, because you will be surprised what you're holding on the inside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the Bible tells us in Proverbs that we ought to seek good counsel. And a lot of times we think that's only for the church, but counsel is counsel.
It is.
And, you know, we tell people, when you get ready to get married, you better get some counselor. But, you know, even the preacher, you know, you have to ask yourself, who's your counselor? You know, who's counseling you? You know, who's talking to you? And I'm not going to get off on that tangent about, you know, because we're talking about the death of mothers. But I will tell you, I've had members of my congregants that would say, Pastor, you know, I'm not coming to church on Mother's Day. And I would get angry with them. Why are you not going to church? You know, you didn't come on the church. Pastor, I'm just not coming to church. I'm not doing it. I just can't do it, because I don't want to hear all these people talking about their moms and da da da. And I had to really catch myself, because after my mom died, I found myself kind of feeling the same way. You know, I don't want to hear y'all talk about how much I love y'all mom at all, you know, and how much y'all, and then, you know, I understand when people say, Pastor, I, you know, every time I come to church, I see my mom in that casket laying up there in that church, and they just do something to my mind and just take me to place, you know, and of course my mom's funeral was at our church. So, you know, I have to think about, you know, this is where the last place that we saw her laying here and talked about her, and all these people were here to celebrate her. And it's a high moment and you're happy, but it's a low moment because she's not here. You know, I'm looking at pictures and I've seen her in the church, and I'll be glancing through pictures and looking at services that we had. And then she pops up and I lose it. I start, you know, I'm in my truck, I'm backing out the driveway, and all of a sudden I just start crying. It hits me out of nowhere. I'm in the gym one day and just lifting weights, and I'm listening to a song, and all of a sudden I just start crying. Everybody comes over and like, are you okay? Are you all right? And I was fine, but I was having that moment, and yes, it hits me out of nowhere. I'm telling you. And when it hits you, you know, I tell people, don't fight it. Don't try to resist it. You got to just go with that moment, because if you resist it, it's only going to make it worse for you. So I tell people, when I have those moments when I want to cry, I cry. When I have those moments when I just want to be alone, I be alone. And some people say, well, that's dangerous. But at that moment, it's not good for me to be around a lot of people, because I'm experiencing that grieving moment. And in that grieving moment, I just need to have that time in the saints. You know, they'll tell you, oh, you're a man of God. You're a real man of God, and God don't want you to act like that. And God don't want you crying and carrying on like that, because your mama gone now. You need to lift up your head, son. Lift up your head and be strong and be a man of God, because the saints, you got to be strong for the people of God. And I'm saying to myself, I don't want to be strong for none of these people right now. I don't want to be strong for none of these people right now. Right now, all I know is I'm having a moment of missing the woman that I love so much, you know, and so now, even for Mother's Day, it's coming up Sunday, and I have to get myself together. I have to start getting my mind, and I have to prepare myself and try to do activities going to celebrate other people's mothers, but remembering those that have all, you know, also passed away, and trying to do it in a way that won't cause a person to just lose it. Because I'm trying to do everything I can not to lose it myself on Sunday, you know, because it, you know, it's a day that's set aside to celebrate your mother. And being that she's not here, it makes it difficult. So I know I'll spend the day with my siblings. I'll have to. We're going to go to the grave, because we made a vow that we're going to do this. We're going to go. We're going to put flowers on our grave. We're going to stand around and talk about memories. We're going to cry a little bit, because we do it. That's what we've done now for the last 3 years. We're going to do it. And people say, well, why y'all keep putting yourself through this? No, what is there? It's therapeutic for us, that it helps us. So we have to do what it takes to keep us sane and help us. And we're there to help each other and to embrace one another and cry on each other's shoulders. So that helps us to get through on Mother's Day.
And you know, another thing that, like you said, helps us to get through is Mother's Day. I try to rally. My nieces have lost their mother, which was my sister.
Right.
So here we are with the matriarch of our family gone, with their mom gone. And so we all kind of come together, and it's just 11 of us now. So we tried to make it a big celebration. We cook and everything, and people invite us out to dinner and say, well, you know, we're having dinner. We want you to, we don't want to.
Right.
And they, I don't think people can understand that. No, we need to be together, and yeah. we need to be together privately, because
yes.
we don't know how the day going to turn out.
Absolutely.
It can start out good and turn out bad.
That's
and you know, right. so we just, well. And because it has happened. It has yeah. happened. My sister died 1 year, my mom died the next. And so it has happened that at our dinner table, somebody breaks down and crying and causes everybody to start crying and,
sure.
and this kind of thing. So what we try to do is just kind of stay to ourselves doing the Mother's Day dinner. When we go all out, we cook the big meal and we laugh and talk. It's not all sad. We laugh and talk and
sure.
we go, remember that time when your mama said so-and-so, you know, whatever.
Absolutely.
We do that, you know, and we laugh about the time she might have beat you, you was laying down, as you got
yeah.
a beating, as we call it, you
yes.
know. So we bring up those kinds of things so that we can bring laughter to us, because my sister especially, she was very comical. So
yes.
we bring up some of the things that she used to say and do, and everybody at the table would just fall out laughing. But
yes.
sometimes you still, even in the midst of that laughter, there is still something there.
Yeah,
and I can't call what that something is, but
yeah.
there's still something there that makes you feel like, but this is not like it used to be.
No, it's not like it used to be. And I will agree with you. It's not, definitely not like it used to be.
Yes.
You know, because mama was a cook. She cooked. I mean, and she was a very good cook. And, you know, there was one thing that she cooked that none of us are able to cook, and that was her dressing. She was a killer when it came down to that dressing. Matter of fact, everybody wanted my mom to fix the dressing because she was so good at it. So I got my sisters in them, they try. And now what we do is we laugh about it, because none of them actually took the time to write down what she was putting in that stuff. And they try every year and none of them have gotten it yet. And so we sit and we look, and the dressing never gets eaten, because we're like, none of us are not gonna eat this here. Because it ain't mama's dressing, and we've had people to try to get other people to cook it, and we'll eat everything that's on the table, but nobody would touch the dressing because it was mama thing. And because it was mama thing, we just don't want it. We just haven't found anybody that fix it just like she does. So what we do is we just don't bother with it at all. And people still bring in the dressing. You would think
yeah.
that they would just not bring the dressing no more. But one of my sisters keep trying. She keep trying. She's like, y'all taste it. Y'all taste the dressing. We said, no. We just not going to do it. So every year we know Sunday's coming and somebody going to bring the dressing, and we'll have everything on the table and nobody would touch that dressing.
Well, I would quit trying after a while, because I would not be wasting my money and my talent or my food. So, you know, but I understand it. I understand it. That's the same way we feel about my mom's corn muffins. Nobody, and she would make them from scratch. And
yeah.
everybody in the family has tried. And we declare that, you know, I got a niece, Tiffany. She brings it, and they don't look done. And we be sitting there like, that's not done. I'm not eating that, you know. And so, because nobody can make corn muffins like my mom can make corn muffins. So, you know, those are things you miss and everything. You laugh about it, but you also say, God, I sure can have some corn muffins right now with these greens. You know,
yeah.
things of that nature like that. But let me ask you this, Dr. Mason, what advice would you give to somebody? Yeah, I know yours is still fresh, 3 years. Mine is not too far behind. But what advice would you give to somebody that perhaps lost their mom this year?
Well, you know, I can tell anybody, there's not going to be an immediate answer. The one thing I will tell you that you do have on your side is time. time is the only thing that I know of that I'm not going to say it gets better. You just learn how to cope with it differently than you did from the onset of it. Because, you know, in time, you know, I still cry, still have my moments, but they're not like they were when it first happened. So time would be the thing. The other thing I would probably say to a person is, it's important that you find individuals that have experienced what you've experienced, so that when you are having strange moments and not understanding what you're feeling or what you're thinking or how you feel at the moment, like you feel like you're slipping, that person can be there to support you and let you know that's not an unusual thing for a person that just lost their mom. It's not unusual, because I went through several. I'll tell you, you will go through several different emotional experiences. You'll go through the crying, you'll go through the scream, you'll go through the, I don't want to be bothered with nobody. You'll go through, you know, the questioning, you'll go through wanting answers and not have them. You're going to go through all these emotional things. You're going to feel like just getting away from everybody. There are times that you're going to laugh. There are times when you're going to have great memories. There are times when you're going to feel like you're alone. You're just going to go through cycles of different things. But I will tell you, it's good to have people around you so that the devil won't have you thinking that something is wrong with you or you're losing it, because you will literally feel like something wrong. I don't feel myself, because a part of you literally goes along with that person when they go. So I would tell you, you need to surround yourself around people, not somebody that still got their mom, because I don't care how much people try to tell you they understand, it's a feeling and an emotion and an experience that you will have that nobody else will understand unless they have literally lost their mom. Unless you've lost, you will not understand it. So that would be my advice. Know that time is on your side. And in time, things will allow you to be able to cope with it better. And I would encourage you to be around individuals that have lost their loved ones or their mom, and they understand what you're experiencing, and not make you feel like you're crazy or losing it or something is wrong with you, but will encourage you to go ahead and beat the mattress. Go ahead and kick the cat. It's okay. And go ahead and get it out, because if you don't, building it up will drive you to a place that you don't want to go.
Yeah. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm smiling, because I remember a time that I came, we have a two-story house, and I came down the stairs and I overheard my son and my husband talking about me.
Yeah.
And just when you said,
She losing it. Y'all better check on her, because something wrong with her.
Crazy. You know, I think we need to get her to a therapist quick, because she is exactly losing right. It.
Well, don't and feel I bad, because they said it about me too. They said, boy, we better check on him, because that boy, it seemed like he something wrong.
Walked in on them, and then, you know, I stood near the door to hear what they were saying. And Derek said, I'm worried about it, because, you know, she's not right. She's something right. And you need to take her to the doctor. This is what he's telling my husband, right?
Yeah.
And so my husband was like, I'm going to get her to the doctor.
And listen, and don't we get defensive? Why y'all think something wrong with me?
Wrong with me? God, did I go off that day?
Oh, we get defensive. I'm like, why y'all think something wrong with me? I just lost my mama. Ain't nothing wrong with me.
That's what I
y'all
said.
Y'all know what I'm dealing with right now. Why y'all acting like something wrong with me?
You saying the same thing. I was like, so y'all think I'm crazy, right? That's how I went.
And then you start crying, because you thinking they supposed to be understanding you. And then I'm crying, because I'm thinking, y'all can't believe y'all doing this to me, because y'all the only people I can really you trust and know and understand what I'm experiencing, and y'all talking about me, this is not right. See, that's why I miss my mama, because mama would understand me. Y'all don't understand me like she would. And this is the reason why I'm acting the way I'm acting. And y'all not right for this. Y'all not right. I'm telling you, y'all not right.
You must have been a fly on the wall, because that's just how that story went.
I've been there. I'm telling you, I understand. I do understand.
Yes. But it's so good, though, to have someone that you could talk to.
Absolutely.
And they understand, like you said, and they understand.
Yes.
And talking to somebody that has not experienced this, they don't have a clue what you're going through. They could tell you it's going to be all right. And sometimes you look at them and say, no, it's not going to be all right. You know, and sometimes they'll say, well, you know, he with the Lord. I don't want him with the Lord right now. I want her here with me. I want her here with me. So, you know, you say silly things, okay, because, you know, it's silly. But at the end of the day, we mean it.
Absolutely.
I meant that.
I want to just say this. I miss Henrietta so much. Lord, when I tell you I miss my mama, I miss her. I miss her embracing me. I miss her and, you know, I miss her. Her love and her support, her encouragement, her push. I mean, she's just been so missing in, on so many levels. I mean, it's just, there aren't any words to describe how much I miss her. You know, I dreamed about her recently and I was sharing with one of my sisters and she was just telling me, she said, you know, I'm good. But she said, I want y'all to know I miss y'all so much. And I don't know whether those are be accurate dreams or it's just your mind telling you, wanting you to think that. But it was just good to know, even if my mind playing tricks on me, I'm glad it was telling me whatever it was telling me, because it was just good to know and hear her. Because normally in my dreams, when I dream about her, she don't talk. She just look good. She looked like she in a good place. But this particular time, and this was recently, and she just said to me, she said, I miss y'all so much. And it all of a sudden I woke up. So I just cannot say it enough. You know, I find myself looking at these pictures of her quite often. You know, I have moments, you know, I recorded her funeral service, and sometimes I just go back and look at it and listen to all the people that say all of the things. And, you know, even the eulogy, when I preached it, everybody talked about what a good job I did, but it was an out-of-body experience for me. I don't remember it. I don't remember standing there. I don't remember eulogizing her. And when I look at the video, it's almost like it's unreal, because I don't remember that moment when I actually did what I did. I honestly can't tell you. And I can remember preaching plenty of people's funerals. I can remember standing up and doing a lot of eulogies, but I just could not remember that moment, because it was just an out of body, out of mind experience. But I miss her so much. I really do.
Feel that, because I know how I feel, and I miss my mom. You know, my mom was everybody that knew. Wherever you saw Jackie, you saw my mom. My mom was always with me. She was my intercessor, and everywhere I went, she was there, especially when I was ministering. She was there to intercede. She was in my intercessor, and she would be in the audience interceding for me.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, even when we went to various events, my mom was right there. So everybody got a chance to really know her. And she even was a part of the Savannah Girlfriends. She was a girl, she went to the sleepover. We took her to the sleepover, and, you know, they just loved on her and catered to her. And she just loved it. She said, I want to go back. But unfortunately, she was not able to go back. But
right.
I tell God, thank you for the life that she's lived. I thank you.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, She wasn't always saved, but God saved her, and he made her a mother in Zion. And I praise God for that. You know, I praise God for her being a mother in Zion and a true mother to her, me and my sisters and my sister and my brother, because she loved her children. And we knew that. We knew that very much.
Yeah.
So, Pastor, I am so elated that you're here today. And if I can say anything to you today, tomorrow I will say, let this Mother's Day be a day of reflection, a day of love and peace, knowing that, as they say, and even sometimes we don't want to hear it, but we know where our parents are. We know where, you know where your mom is. I know where my mom is. And try to enjoy Mother's Day.
Yeah. I think that's the hope that we have, that we know where they are. You know, I think if at any point I was afraid to die after mama died, I told somebody the other day, I said, the last thing that my mama taught me was she taught me how to die. When I watched my mother, they said, what, Pastor? Your mama taught you? I said, mama, when I watched her, because she was in hospice care. I stayed there. I took care of her along with my siblings, and we didn't leave her side. And I was there down to the last breath that she took. So the last thing on her way out, she was still teaching me lessons. So the one thing I do know now is that if I was afraid to die, mama taught me how to lay down and die in Jesus. So I know that the last, you know, and I'm trying not to get caught up in this moment, because the last thing I heard her say just before she passed away was, she took a last breath and she said, Lord, have mercy on my soul. She closed her eyes and she passed away. So I know that she's with the Lord, and I look forward to the day that one day I'll be able to see her again. So I'm sorry, but I thank God for this opportunity. But she taught me how to, you know, to love God, to stand firm in what I believe in. And I'm the man of God. A lot of times people say, I thank God for Pastor Cheever, and I do, because Pastor Cheever taught me a lot. But my mother was my supporter. She was always there for me. You know it. She couldn't drive, but she got everywhere. She would meet me there. She would get there. When people were sick, she took care. Everybody knew Sister Henrietta would come and see about them, and she would sit there, and she didn't even have to know you. She just was that kind of person. So she just taught me so much, and I am who I am today because of what she put on the inside of me. So when the time comes and for me to get ready to leave here, one thing I can do, I don't have to lay down in fear, because she left me with this one thought in my mind, son, when you're in Jesus, you can lay down. And you can lay down and close your eyes, because this is the one thing that we do know that we all got to do. And we got to remember, we got to be living for this moment. And this is the moment that we know that we're going to go back and be with Jesus. So she taught me on the way out how to lay down and be at peace and go back and be with Jesus. So if I don't know anything else, I can tell you, she taught me a lot of lessons, but the last thing she taught me how to die right.
Walla hard just then, because that got to me. That was a wonderful lesson that she taught you. And I'm so grateful that our parents, your mother, my mother, have taught us valuable lessons. And that's one of the things my mom, you know, as we conclude today, my mother always told me from a little girl up, ladies, don't act like that. When I would act up, she would say, you're a lady, and ladies don't act like that. My mom taught me how to be a lady. My mom wasn't just a woman or just a female. My mama was a real lady.
Yeah.
And she taught me how to be a lady. And so therefore, sometimes when I get angry or get upset about things and think, and you want to lash out, I can hear her voice saying, ladies, don't act like that.
Yeah.
And it calms me down, and it makes me say, okay, my favorite word, I'm going to let them have that.
Yeah.
Because ladies don't act like that.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that keeps me going. A lot of people say to me all the time, oh, you're such a lady. I owe it to my mother.
Yeah.
I owe all of it to my mother. Because I was a fighter by nature, and my mom taught me how to be a lady.
Absolutely.
And so I'm grateful. Listen, we can go on and on with this because we got so many memories tagged to us and we got so many things that our mother said and put in us. But we're going to end this right now. And I'm not going to end it in no prayer. All I'm going to say to all of my podcasters that's listening today, if you are not female, tell your wife or your mother Happy Mother's Day. And to all the mothers that are listening today, I bid you a wonderful Mother's Day, and I also bid you Godspeed. Thank you for joining me today on the special edition of What's the Takeaway. God bless you, and we'll see you the next time.
What's the Takeaway podcast, hosted by Dr. Jackie Gilbert Grant, covers a variety of relevant topics with professional guests. This is the perfect show to learn from different views on national newsworthy topics. The show airs every Saturday at 11:30 a.m.